Welcome to Tiny Expedition Season 4, Episode 6. Hey, Sarah, it's the final episode of this season, so what are we doing? What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking all about the tasty and nutritious commodity crop peanuts and how one educational program is teaching students all about genetics by including them in a breeding program to create improved peanut varieties. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Sarah Sharman, here to help you understand the science.
My name is Chris Powell. I'll be your narrative guide for today. And joining us one more time is...
Hey, my name is Jordan Phillips, and I'm an intern with the Hudson Alpha BioTrain program this summer.
Excellent, Jordan. So we're going to have a great time today. Sit back. It's all about peanuts. All throughout the United States and across the world, really, peanuts are pretty popular. I know for me, they're pretty popular. Sarah, I love peanuts. How about you, Jordan? Are y'all fans of the peanut?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the peanut. It really packs a nutritional punch, so I eat it a lot for breakfast.
That's a lot of peas all together for you.
Really packs some
peas. Sorry.
How about you, Jordan? Are you a fan of the peanut?
Yeah, I like peanuts pretty good.
Okay, so if you're going to eat a peanut, what's your best, most favorite way to consume them?
The main way that I eat peanuts is probably a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Those are the best.
Hey, no judgment here. That's a great way to consume peanuts. How about you, Sarah?
Yeah, for me, I really like a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Like, that's probably my favorite.
That's the Elvis sandwich, right?
It's really good, Elvis, yep.
Peanut butter and banana. I think for me, growing up in South Alabama, they had the roadside boiled peanuts. I think that's the superior way for me to consume peanuts. So whether you enjoy Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, boiled peanuts, or peanut butter and banana sandwiches, it's easy as we're consuming the product to forget that the product comes from somewhere. There are farmers, there are communities that are all dependent on successful harvest of the peanut.
And peanuts sure are big business in the southeastern United States. Approximately half of peanuts grown in the U.S. are grown, harvested, and processed within 100 miles of Dothan, Alabama. Alabama itself is home to about 900 peanut farmers who plant and harvest about 160,000 acres, which yield about 400 million pounds of peanuts and more than $200 million in revenue annually.
Those production numbers are striking. That's a whole lot of peanuts produced for us to enjoy. But it comes to us because of the diligent work of farmers and researchers who are combating the global spread of plant diseases and pests, and they have to deal with dwindling natural resources, climate change that threatens crop production, and also the increased price of inputs like fertilizers and pesticides.
A new program in the Wiregrass region of South Alabama is using the power of genomics to develop more of these drought and disease-resistant varieties of peanuts to thrive in the Wiregrass region and beyond. One unique feature of this breeding program is that it is partially driven by high school students. To help us understand this program a little better, we talked to Dothan High School teacher Keely Brewer.
I'm Keely Brewer, and I'm an educator at Dothan High School in Dothan, Alabama. This is my 15th year altogether, and this will be my 8th year at Dothan. The overview of this peanut project was that the students would be able to plant the peanuts, watch the seedlings grow, and then participate in a DNA extraction from the leaves of the young seedlings. Once the DNA is extracted, it's sent back to Hudson Alpha in Huntsville for DNA sequencing. And then once it's been sequenced, the data is sorted so that way they can understand what particular five or six traits are present or absent in their own seedling. And then as a class, they have to decide what traits are valuable and should be selected for in the next generation of peanuts and cross back to the original plant. And then maybe what are some traits that are not as valuable to our area. For Dothan specifically, the peanut plays an important role in our economy. A lot of the kids have links to farms, or even if they don't have any sense of farming, because I do teach in a city or suburban area, they can still know that it's a big part of our economy. We have everything from the peanut festival, from the time they're little kids, they see the peanut statues around town. You know, we always go to on field trips in and around the area and we look at farming. So they've certainly heard about the importance of the peanut to the economy. This gave them a chance to actually grow peanuts. And a lot of my kids had never seen one outside of a field. So to to actually have one in their hand and begin to grow it. That was a neat idea for them. And then to understand that the seeds change, that it's not just the same peanut that's grown, that if they could use genetics and produce a better product, then the farmers could earn more money, hopefully get a better yield. It might make an impact beyond our community.
Keely is a teacher at Dothan High School, but Dothan is only one of the schools involved in this project. Currently, there are 4 schools taking part, with 3 more to be added in the coming year. All of these schools are in the Dothan or larger Wiregrass area.
The schools that take part in the program sign up for a continuing relationship with the Hudson Alpha Educational Outreach Team, led by Kelly East. The Educational Outreach Team travels to each school to help with collection, and then they bring the teachers to the Huntsville campus for further lab training.
While the students participating in this project are doing this as part of their biology class, this is real-world experience that they're getting inside of the classroom.
They really enjoyed it. It was a fun experience. Again, they didn't know exactly what they were getting into because I couldn't really prep them for what was happening that day. They loved getting to hear about the actual science that was going on, because especially in an AP biology class, it's a really molecular based class, and we are always just on the inside of the cell. They don't necessarily see what that's going to do in the real world. So to have a scientist walk in the door and say, okay, well, you know, I used to work for Mars, and this is how we worked for the peanuts in this, you know, at this company, it kind of gave them a different perspective of what a scientist does. Kids really just think in terms of science, oh, I can be a doctor or a pharmacist or a dentist, or I can be a science teacher. And then past that, they don't really know what an interest in science is going to get them as a career. So it was a lot of fun to get to have people come in and raise the students' interest. It gave them a very real sense of what the geneticists are actually doing, because once the DNA was actually sequenced and it was sent off, they came back, and for the third lesson, they got to look at different traits that would actually grow out in the peanuts, and they got to evaluate what would be a better seed. And so it kind of gave them that sense of, oh, here are some local jobs, here are some ties to our community, and some real life examples of how genetics are used. So I was pleased with that. I really want to always offer our kids new ideas and then link it back to a future for them. You know, okay, well, great. If you go off and you decide this is interesting and you go to college, well, hopefully one day you can come back to this community and there will be a job here for you. So that's the exciting part of being involved with Hudson Alpha Wiregrass, is that hopefully those jobs will be in the community. And so if we can get them interested and understand a way that they can relate genetics to real life, then hopefully they'll seek that out in college.
It turns out this program is not just benefiting the students. Teachers, who are often pushed beyond their limits in terms of time and effort, work hard to develop lesson plans, but sometimes they fall back on the same ideas year after year. This program is empowering them with continued education, some of it at Hudson Alpha's campus in Huntsville, to incorporate new methods into their teaching.
You do kind of tend to do the same ideas every year in your classroom, and so it's really fun to have a fresh project and a fresh perspective to have people come in with great ideas and great products. So that way it can get the kids inside it, but it can also teach and train the teachers. And that's one of the nice things, is that, you know, the people at Hudson Alpha really, they contacted us and they stuck it out and they trained us this summer. And it was really nice to have that follow up. It wasn't just, oh, here's something that we can do once and y'all have fun with it. It's nice to see that there's a continuing project and that hopefully it can exist in different iterations for years and impact a lot of people in our community.
The Hudson Alpha Wiregrass Project is a great project for teaching students in the classroom about the application of genetics to agriculture.
The educational benefits of this project are already evident. Students get to grow peanuts from a seed, take care of them, extract their DNA, and analyze actual sequence data. But the peanuts don't get thrown away when the semester is over. The top peanut plants from each class could actually make it to a farmer's field one day.
But before we can get the peanut from the classroom to the field, we need to walk you through the process, and that begins in the lab of Abby Birch in Dothan.
So I'm Abby Birch, and I'm the lab manager down here at Hudson Alpha Wiregrass. I work closely with Josh Clevenger and his team in peanut research. Some days I am doing computer work, trying to get stuff ordered, trying to make sure that right now we're trying to get our pedigree for the next season set up. And then I also share a lab with a class during the school year. So I have to kind of schedule my days out to where like my lab work doesn't interfere with their classwork. Even though the teacher, she was like, no, you can come in. I was like, no, that is not okay. He's like, that's not going to work for me. It's not going to work for your students. They're not going to learn anything if I'm in there, and I'm not going to be able to focus if they're in there. So that really took a toll on just trying to figure out how my days are going to look. But other than that, during the summer, I've been learning some coding with Zach Myers. And I've also we do a lot of extractions. It may be libraries that we're prepping or, you know, getting stuff ready for sequencing. That's essentially what I'm doing, is just making sure that everything is getting done, running smoothly. It just really depends on the day.
Abby is the perfect person to run this lab in Dothan because she is born and raised in the area, in the Dothan Wiregrass area. So she is well aware of the issues that farmers face locally.
Pretty much everybody knows a farmer down here, knows somebody who does farm, you know. The growing seasons are different down here. It's hotter for longer periods of time. I think sometimes I wear shorts in Christmas, sometimes I don't. Just depends on the year. We only get probably about three or four months a year that are cold. So farmers really have to think about that. And then they have to also think about the weather patterns, because sometimes we get a lot of rain, sometimes we don't get a lot of rain. It's just really dependent. But growing up down here was, everybody knew a farmer or knew of someone who farmed. When it comes to peanuts in the area that they are grown in, it really depends on the field. Certain fields have certain diseases and certain funguses that we have to kind of deal with. And unlike Georgia, Alabama does not have a whole lot of irrigated fields. They're smaller, less irrigated. So drought is a really big thing that we have to look at as well. But we really are just looking at peanuts and seeing like what disease packages do they have, or like what are they resistant to? And then like, how do they do under drought stress? And also what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to help alleviate some of these costs for farmers. So in order to do that, we're looking at things so they don't have to spray as much, they don't have to use as much fungicide. And then at the end, we want them to have a lot of peanuts. So we also look at things like yield. We want them to make sure that they're making money off of their product. So that is what we're doing.
As with any new project or technology, you have to ask the question, is this going to be received well? Because as we've already stated, there is a lot on the line for everyone involved.
You know, the farmers are actually very receptive. They are all for it. You may have to explain a little bit, you know, explain it's not genetically modified organisms and stuff like that. You may have to just kind of go through with them. But most of them know the process really well. They know their plants, you know what I mean? They know what they're growing, they know how it works, and they're very receptive. And the people in the community who are like really wanting to see our community flourish are ecstatic. They are so happy that, you know, Dothan's getting a R&D, because we don't have anything like this down here. And it's really, I think it's really a good thing for our economy. Our city is really trying to just expand and do better. And I think Hudson Alpha Wiregrass is just a part of that.
In the future, all of the peanut project work will be done in a new lab at the Wiregrass Innovation Center. Until then, much of the work is done at Hudson Alpha's Huntsville campus. So we caught up with Drs. Josh Clevenger and Waleed Khorani at the Hudson Alpha Greenhouse to learn more about the research side of the project and to see some of the students' peanut plants.
Yeah, so we're entering the mid hallway of the greenhouse now. And it has double doors on each side, and that helps us keep pests out. And so right now we're going to be opening the door into the room where we have some of the wiregrass peanuts that are maturing now. So you guys have to put this stuff on your shoes. This is bleach. It helps with pests. I won't make you do that, but we got to do alcohol on your hands. So these massive giants in these pots are actually the plants that were selected by the students in the classroom. And so what we did is after they were selected, we brought them into this greenhouse room and we made crosses with a really awesome elite variety that was just released this past year that has really strong fungal resistance. And so all these plants have been crossed and those peanuts are just now developing and those peanuts will be harvested. And then the students in the fall and the spring will be actually working with those to decide to do the next cross.
How close to harvest are we now?
Actually, we could probably harvest these next week. So we're about ready to harvest them. Once you make the cross, it's about 45 days until they'll mature and you'll harvest them. So what's really interesting before we go is if you look at this peanut flower, each one of these flowers, you have to take the male parts off because in the morning, basically as soon as it opens, if the pollen is viable, it's gonna pollinate that stigma. And so at night, we have to come in very carefully and like pull back this flag and these sepals and then take the male parts out. So in the morning when it opens, we can take pollen from the plant that we want and then just gently put it on there. But it really likes a humid environment, so you have to keep all of this in good shape so that you can put it back together and it can have that nice snug environment. And just one of these flowers makes one seed. So unlike grasses or corn where you just dump pollen on top and you get a whole thing of seed, or tomatoes, which I used to work on, if you want one seed, you have one flower.
Wow.
So it's hard work. But it's pretty hot in here. Let's go talk out in the air conditioning.
For as long as humans have been domesticating crops, they have been breeding the best, strongest, tastiest plants together to make elite varieties. The only difference now is that we can look at the plant's genomes to know what traits they'll exhibit before they've even matured, speeding up the process and making it more efficient.
All right, so what we actually did, so we looked at those plants, we saw that we crossed them, how did we select them, how did the students select them, and what did they select for? So this entire improvement program is based on back crossbreeding, which means that you're trying to take a plant that has a very valuable trait that you can select for with a marker in the genome, so like a piece of DNA that has a variant in its gene, and select for that, and then back cross it to a line that you know is the farmers will grow and is what we call elite genetics, and then just select for the background of the elite line and then those specific traits that you have markers for. So we actually are able to do this using whole genome sequencing because in our lab we developed with my partner Wally Karani something called, and you need to say it correctly.
Yeah, Quaffle.
Oh, Quaffle. And do you want to explain exactly what that actually entails, what HOFU actually is?
Yeah, Quaffle is a big platform for genetic analysis. One part of it to take the raw data and try to get information for it. For example, for that project, so we have plants and we need to know the polymorphic loci between these plants and try to connect which loci for the best traits that we need and use this loci later on for doing genetic selection. So once the data has been selected for the first round, it's sent for sequencing and come as a raw data, but it's raw data is nothing unless it's run for analysis to go through COFO and get the output and use this output again for the next season to doing a quick selection without getting for phenotypic analysis.
Yeah. So Waleed is a very talented computational biologist who thinks in binary, so ones and zeros all the time. So if I translate what he just said, we are actually able to use the informatics platform to look at very low coverage sequencing of every line and actually look at the genotypic variation across their entire genomes. So, in sort of a interesting way to think about it, this breeding program that the students are participating is the only breeding program in the world where the selections are only based on sequencing because of our ability to do that. So that's what really makes this unique. We're not just teaching them about breeding and actually breeding with them, but we're doing it in a way that's completely cutting edge because of our ability here at Hudson Alpha to do that work. And so
if we translate that a little bit, we have targets in the genome that we know are going to tag very strong traits, resistance to fungal diseases, resistance to viruses, tolerance to drought, things like that. And so we can look at every plant and know exactly what their phenotype might be for those specific ones, and then look for millions of markers across the genome to say how much of this plant is also that elite line that we really like. And so we can pick ones that say stack, what we call stack, which include many high-value traits, four or five different high-value traits, and then 90% of the elite background. And that is really the power and gives us the speed to develop these very specific tailor-made plants very quickly.
Let me ask a question on that. The students in Dothan, they have access to some information to be able to vote on what plants they'd like to see cross. How much of that information, because obviously what you're telling us about is going to be well beyond what they're going to be able to have. So how much information do they actually have in order to have input on this?
So our goal as we get sort of mature in the program is to actually have computational modules where the students are actually analyzing all of the data from start to finish. Right now, what we give them is we tell them if those plants have those specific beneficial alleles, so the alleles we know will confer some sort of resistance or trait that we're interested in, and also how much of their background matches an elite variety. So they say this line is high oleic, it has resistance to a virus and resistance to nematodes, and it's 95% of this really high level agronomic variety. And so they can look at that and say, that is a line that I want to move to the next generation. What we're doing here, this breeding program, using sequencing to select for high-value traits within peanut to accelerate that improvement. Really, that is the outcome of a dream of a couple individuals that were leaders in the peanut community that came together and said, okay, the human genome has been sequenced, the Arabidopsis genome, the rice genome, we should do peanut, which actually is a ridiculous thing to think, because peanut exponentially is more complex than those other genomes. And so at that time in 2008, it was kind of absurd to like go for that. You know, it was like, that's like really next level stuff. But they got the industry involved with the promise of, we can accelerate improvement for our growers and for our next generations. And so they actually set out over the course of 3 to 4 years to get buy-in from every segment of the peanut industry. Is completely private funded. So the Grower Checkoff and the National Peanut Board put in a third of the money. The American Shellers Association, who are the ones that shell the peanuts and sell to manufacturers, put in a third. And then the manufacturers, mostly covered by the big players, Mars Wrigley, is the biggest one in that. And they also put a third. And all that money came together and formed the International Peanut Genome Initiative, which from 2010 until actually just this year was active, met every year in large international meetings with all of the players around the world to collaborate and share, with the ultimate goal of sequencing the peanut genome. Now from 2010 when they got the money until 2019, that wasn't possible because it was too complex to assemble. Hudson Alpha got early access to Pacific Biosciences long read sequencing, and so in 2017 Hudson Alpha was brought in, and that was actually gave us the ability to sequence the peanut genome. So I was one of the lead authors on that paper. That's when I first met Jeremy Schmutz and the GSC and those folks at Hudson Alpha. And so really, it's apropos that this entire large initiative with the dream of accelerating peanut improvement using genomics and the genome comes back here to Hudson Alpha. And so those students, what I tell them is I say, look, there's maybe 100 to 200 high-level scientists across the world that worked for almost 15 years on the dream that you could do this here today. And this is the outcome of that, having markers and having the ability to use genomics to make selections to do that faster. That's why we have that ability. And so it's really just an amazing story of folks that said, we think we should do this, we don't know that we can, and then continuing to push and science and collaboration across the world to really get this done. Because without all of that, we wouldn't be able to do this here. So, and then piggybacking off of that, here at Hudson Alpha, we have partnerships with a lot of folks in the USDA and at Mars and other global organizations. And so we're actually using our genomic ability to help those folks breed, but also companies like Mars that are trying to produce drought tolerant, low aflatoxin, disease resistant varieties for all over the world, because they're global and they buy peanuts everywhere peanuts are grown. Because the United States is the only country at the moment that freely shares germplasm, in the wiregrass, what we have the ability to do is develop varieties that can be then shared globally in a lot of the projects that we work on. And we're talking South America, Africa, Australia, Asia, all of those places. We can develop peanuts here that then can go there and help in those breeding programs, either as germplasm that they use or as actual varieties. So peanut is really interesting. It's a day-neutral plant, meaning it will flower with any day length. And so it does really well in different environments. It's really strange. The whole country of Australia, okay, they have Peanut Company Australia. They make some of the best roasted peanuts I've ever had in my life. They're called Picky Picky Peanuts. And nobody bought them, so they don't make them anymore. And I'm very frustrated by that. But they grow varieties that were released in Florida. They don't do anything to them. They were bred and released in Florida, and they just license them and they grow them in Australia. So we really have a big opportunity here. It's not like soybean and corn and things where you have to do a lot of local breeding. We have a big opportunity for these students in this program and for us to develop peanut varieties that can directly be grown in other countries.
The Wiregrass Peanut Project is just getting started. We're excited about the possibilities for the farmers in the wiregrass and beyond, as well as the impact on the region and the students who are experiencing the wonders of genetics.
Before we let you go on this episode, though, we need to wrap back to the beginning. There was a little bit of a controversy, and we wanted to address with one of our panelists, what's the best way to enjoy a peanut?
It is a very important question, and boiled every day, all day long. That is my favorite way to eat a peanut.
So there you have it. It's science. Boiled peanuts, the best way to enjoy a peanut. But that's okay. If you like Reese's peanut butter cups or sandwiches, that's fine. Just know that researchers are making sure that you're going to have access to those treats going forward.
And that's a wrap on season 4. But don't worry, we're already working on season 5, so stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. In season 5, we're getting pop cultured. We'll look at how genetics is represented in iconic films, TV, and music to see what they got wrong and maybe what they got right. We hope you'll join us.
Thank you for joining us on this tiny expedition into the peanut project that is impacting the wiregrass region and beyond.
And thanks for joining us this season and exploring the ways in which genetics and biotechnology are helping combat global challenges and create a healthy world for tomorrow.
Tiny Expeditions is a podcast about genetics, DNA, and inheritance from the Hudson Alpha Institute for Biotechnology. We're a nonprofit research institution in Huntsville, Alabama.
We've got a campus full of scientists doing public research alongside companies developing products and services, all with one aim: to translate genomic discoveries into real-world applications that make for a healthier, more sustainable world. That's everything from cancer research to agriculture for a changing climate.
If you find this podcast interesting, please rate, review, like, and subscribe on the podcast app of your choice, and then tell somebody that you listened to this interesting little story about genetics. Knowledge is better when you share it.
Thanks for joining us.